brothers and sisters, these days, if you have been watching the news, there is only one news that is dominating most of the discussion. Have you been watching the elections besides cricket and all those things? Yes, the US elections are on, and here in our state of Bihar, the elections are on. I'm not talking about elections and voting, but what is important in an election are the numbers. You have candidates who are asking for votes, and who wins the election? The person who gets the highest number of votes wins the elections. The passage that we read today from the Gospel according to Saint Luke, chapter 14, tells us of a similar story, but with a difference. Jesus was very, very popular. Jesus became very famous, and we will try to understand why did Jesus become famous. The passage that we read today for our reflection, Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, towards the end of the chapter, verses 25 onwards, tells us that the crowds were following Jesus. You may think that Jesus was very happy. The election candidates who are standing for elections in Bihar or in the US would be very happy. Crowds and crowds following Jesus. In fact, Luke's Gospel tells us that people were simply leaving everything and following Jesus. Do you think Jesus was happy? Maybe a question that all of you can ask yourself. Do you think Jesus was happy? Would you be happy if you were along with Jesus? More and more people following him, the crowds. Luke's Gospel mentions the crowds following Jesus. And as the crowds followed Jesus, he gives us a very strange teaching. Had it been one of our politicians, had it been one of our, maybe you or me, we would have been very, very happy. But Jesus looks at the crowds and he gives them a strange teaching, a very, very deep, meaningful teaching. And that teaching is, I'm not looking out for crowds. I'm not looking for numbers. I do not want to be famous. Today, Jesus leaves us with the teaching on discipleship. When the crowds followed Jesus, he looked at the crowds and he said, I want disciples. And therefore, let us today in the talk try to understand, why did Jesus say this? Jesus should have been happy. Of course, he was happy. But Jesus looked at the crowds and he saw them, that everyone was not the same. A disciple stands out in the crowd. There are many people who claim to follow Jesus. If you read the Examiner last week online, at this time of the year, before the Feast of Christ the King, every year the Vatican comes out with statistics. How many Christians are there in the world? How many Catholics are there in the world? How many priests are there in the world? And the statistics compare every year. Have Catholics increased? Have the priests increased? Have the catechists increased? Have the married couples increased? Have seminarians increased? My dear brothers and sisters, we are living in a world that is obsessed with numbers. If you look at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, our youth are mad about how many people have checked their Facebook status. And it is true also for the time of Jesus. Numbers were very important. For a Jewish rabbi, how many disciples are following him was very important. And when Jesus started getting more and more followers, leaving everything and following him, they were very upset. Here, these Jewish rabbis were struggling with having disciples. And Jesus was getting crowds. Today, let us try to understand the teaching of Jesus on who can be a disciple, let me ask you, if you are a Christian, what is the meaning of the word Christian? Many of you would say a Christian means the one who follows Jesus, a disciple of Jesus. But the word Christian has a very special and a significant meaning. The word Christian means you are anointed. Christos, the word Christian comes from the word anointed, from the word Christ himself. And therefore, we will try to understand who is a disciple today, so that once you know the meaning of being anointed, the meaning of being called, you are not one of the crowds for Jesus. So today for our reflection, I will journey with you and play some images. An image is easy to understand. If I give you a big speech, you may forget. But if I play certain images or persons in front of you, it'll be easy for you to understand. I will share with you the story of the discipleship with the image of Peter. The story of Peter is a good example of how to be a disciple and how to be a disciplined disciple. And so our talk today on discipleship and discipline, we will learn from Peter, the first pope. We will learn from Peter, one of the first followers of Jesus. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, the first quality of a disciple is when Jesus and Peter met for the first time on the shore of Galilee, and Jesus called him, and he calls all of us with that one word invitation, and that is, come follow me. And so the first meaning of a disciple is someone who follows Jesus, someone who follows Jesus. But what is this following of Jesus? When Peter decided to follow Jesus, he did something very, very radical. Radical means he did something very, very serious. He did something that is very, very dangerous. And what is that hallmark of a discipleship? He decided to give up. He decided to turn back. And so one of the most dangerous or the most radical teachings of Jesus is something that allowed people to change their life immediately. So a disciple is someone who follows Jesus and who learns to give up. Or give up what? My dear brothers and sisters, very often, if you look at Peter, a successful fisherman, a good business. He had his own boat. He had people working for him. He was very, very successful. In fact, there was nothing lacking. If Peter was a businessman, he would have put his liabilities and he would have put his strengths and weaknesses. He would have done a SWOT analysis. Strengths, weakness, opportunities and threats. When everything was going okay with him, Jesus invited him, come follow me. And why did Peter follow Jesus? The question I want to ask you is a question that will be very important for us. Peter followed Jesus not because of his head, not because he counted, but because of his heart. And that is the meaning of a disciple. A disciple is someone who realizes that his heart is stronger than his head. Now, don't get me wrong. A disciple is someone who uses his head, who uses his mind, but is faithful to his heart. If Peter had followed his head, he would have counted his business, his profit, his workers. He had his boats, he had his nets, he had a flourishing business. He would never, ever had followed Jesus. And therefore, many of our Christians miss out on this head and the heart. And though Jesus, when he addresses the crowds, he looks at some of them and he says, you are following me from your head because you have eaten something. You have experienced miracles. You have something to eat. You are happy to be in a crowd. And Jesus points out that I want disciples. And so Peter is an example. The first story of Peter that helps us to understand who is a disciple is when people were following Jesus and he was very successful. After a little while, in Matthew's gospel, Jesus asks his disciples one question that all of us can ask: who do the people say I am? In Matthew's gospel, he asks them a key question, in fact, two questions. And Peter replies, and that is why he's the leader, he's the head. And Peter replies, you are the Son of God, you are the Messiah. And so the key question that Jesus asks us as disciples to answer: who do you think I am? The personal identity, who is Jesus to me, is the key question of every disciple. And unless you answer this question from your heart, I repeat, unless you follow your heart and make Jesus your Lord and center, you will never be able to become a disciple of Jesus. It doesn't matter you are baptized, you are brought in a Christian home, you attend Mass or you know the prayers, you pray the rosary and you make a retreat, it doesn't matter. To be a disciple is to have a personal identity relationship with Jesus. And therefore Peter, the moment he declared, yes, you are the Messiah, Jesus changed his whole life. Jesus gave him a new name. It is important for us to know, to change a person's name in the old days, in the ancient world, was very unusual. To change a name means to change the very identity of a person, to change the very nature of a person. And therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, discipleship is changing your entire life and orienting it towards Jesus. When Jesus called Peter, his life changed. And that is discipleship, where everything in your life is aligned with Jesus. And therefore, Jesus gave Peter a special gift. What is that special gift? He called Peter by a name. And what is the name? Of course, we know Peter as Peter, but his name was Simon and his new name is Peter. And he gave him a gift. What is that gift? You may have with you a set of keys in your hand. Jesus gave Peter a set of keys. Now, how significant is that? One of the symbols of Peter and of the image of Peter is a set of keys in his hand. Why keys, my dear brothers and sisters? We often put our key in your pocket or in your purse, right? In the olden days, at the time of Jesus, they could never put a key in your pocket or in your purse. Why? The key was larger than you could imagine. The key was something very, very big. Unlike our image of a key where you can hide it and you could pocket it and you could keep it under a shelf. At the time of Jesus, the key that came from the Egyptians was very, very big. So how did they carry the key? They literally carried it on their shoulder. And that is why I decided to wear a stole today, the sign of a priest, where he puts the key on his shoulder, is a sign of the responsibility given to Peter. What was this key, my dear brothers and sisters? In the Old Testament, a key was very, very important. You know, the key was a symbol of entry. And so the Jewish rabbis, whenever in their school, in their college, in their university, when they wanted to prove a point or as part of discipline, they rebuked someone, they taught someone a punishment, they imposed a punishment, they did something that was known as binding. Like, for example, as a punishment, you had to write something 100 times. For a simple example, like we have in school today, that student is bound. He is given that responsibility of writing, I will be a good boy, good girl for 100 times, that is binding. And so Jesus gave the key or binding authority to Peter in a certain sense. And when the disciple had finished his 100 times writing, I am a good boy, or I am going to study this. Once he had fulfilled his task, it was time to unloose the bond. Now his responsibility was over. So Peter, in a sense, had that key, that special responsibility. And my dear brothers and sisters, this brings us to the second point of discipleship. And that is, a disciple is someone who understands his responsibility. The key in the Bible was never kept in a pocket. It was placed on the shoulder. And so when you see a priest wearing a stole over his shoulders, it is a sign that he is accepting his responsibility publicly. A disciple wears the keys on his shoulder. And discipleship can never be a personal or a private matter. That I will be a disciple of Jesus only at home, but when it comes to my relationships, I will keep discipleship away. My dear brothers and sisters, a discipleship of Jesus is a responsibility. Why responsibility? Because you are representing Jesus. When Jesus changed the name of Peter, he also gave Peter the authority to use the name of Jesus. In my name, you will do this. When Jesus calls you a disciple, he gives you a Christian name. He also gives you the name of Jesus. And so you become, as the church teaches us, Christ-like. Another disciple or another Christ. And that is important. So the second point about discipleship is responsibility. Today's gospel tells us that a disciple should understand, calculate, what does it mean to be a disciple. Today the church venerates 4th of November a special saint, Charles Borromeo. If you have heard the name Charles Borromeo, they have a congregation at Wakola, the Sisters of Charles Borromeo. Charles Borromeo is the only saint and is important for us during this time of the pandemic, where one of the plagues is given the name of this saint, the plague of Saint Charles. You can check with history that this Charles Borromeo is known because of his commitment as a priest during the pandemic. And this one was a terrible one. Nothing like the coronavirus. It was 100 times deadlier than the coronavirus. And so in the 1500s, when Saint Charles was a young man, a scholarly man, and he was made a cardinal and a bishop, the plague struck his city of Milan in northern Italy. When the plague struck and people started dying left, right and center, panic struck. Panic, absolute panic. And everybody deserted their place, deserted their post, including the public servants, including government officials, including civil servants. The city of Milan was a graveyard. During this time, the civil authorities, government authorities, they approached Saint Charles, who was out attending a funeral out of Milan. He could have decided to remain out of the city because it was safe to remain out of Milan while the plague was spreading. But today's saint tells us that this saint not only entered the city of Milan, but he did not take a day's rest. Even to unvest, change his clothes and freshen up, he immediately went rushing into the streets, organizing camps, organizing medical services. He took on the responsibility not only as a priest, but the civil responsibility of the city. My dear brothers and sisters, discipleship is commitment and it is public commitment. And that is something very, very important for us to understand. You know, my dear brothers and sisters, a famous movie on Peter, it was a novel actually, by the name of Quo Vadis. Quo Vadis in Latin means, which way, Lord? It's a story depicting the life of Saint Peter. In the famous movie Quo Vadis, or which way, Lord? These are the words of Peter, or these are the words of Jesus to Peter. Where are you going? It's a story that depicts Peter running away from his responsibility while the Christians are being persecuted. And Jesus meets him along the way and he asks Peter, Peter, where are you going? And Peter is so ashamed. He is so dejected. What am I doing? Peter changes his life. He goes back to be with the Christians who are suffering. And it is there that Peter gives up his life. And so the Lord asks each one of us today that same question, Quo Vadis, which way are you going? The way of discipleship or the way of the crowds? Today's gospel from Luke's gospel chapter 14 tells us, while the crowds were following Jesus, Jesus asked for disciples. And who is a disciple? Today's gospel tells us, a disciple is someone, Jesus says, that unless you hate father, mother, brother, sister, even your own life, cannot be my disciple. This is important for us to understand that Jesus doesn't tell you to hate your mom and dad, doesn't tell you to hate your brother, sister, doesn't tell you to hate your work and studies in order to be a disciple. How do we read this verse then? The language of the Bible is a very ancient language. So they use the same word to describe different things. So in order to use the word, explain the word love, they used to use the opposite. And so to hate your mother, father, brother, sister would mean to love less. It doesn't mean to hate. And so Jesus asks us, who is your first love of your life? So a disciple is someone who makes Jesus, the church, the word of God, and your spiritual life number one. My dear brothers and sisters, this is the most important part of Christianity. Where is your heart? Where is your heart? Very often, when we compare to the different things in life, very often God, spirituality, even devotion, or what we call faith, is something that we put in objects, food, clothes, material things, partners, family, which is very good. But today you realize that in order to make this more beautiful, the moment you give your heart to Jesus, your life becomes more valuable and more precious. And so one of the signs that Peter gives us is the word rock. The name Peter means rock. So a disciple is someone who has a stable life, rock solid faith. As compared to people in the world who are swayed by what happens around them and within them, a disciple whose life is based on Jesus, his life is rock solid. Jesus called Peter rock. The word Petros means rock. And the word in Aramaic means Kepha. That means a rock. A rock in the Bible was a very significant term. A disciple of Jesus is rock solid. Now, who is rock solid? In the wilderness where there were sands for miles together, whenever you walked into a desert, walking for miles and miles together, and a desert was the place where the Bible was written. Around the lands of the desert, when the Bible was written, a rock stood out in the desert. While there was sand all over, whenever somebody noticed a rock formation, they immediately knew that it was a place of safety. I have reached a destination where I can spend the night far away and safe from animals. And so in the Bible, a rock was a place of security, it was a place of safety, and it was a place of rest. And therefore, I think one of the songs that you sung at the beginning of your praise and worship, Jesus is a rock of my salvation. Jesus gave the rock, the name rock, to Peter for a very simple reason, that a disciple is the one whose life is safe and secure because of Jesus. And other people, when they notice a disciple, when they notice Peter, their faith should rest in Jesus. And therefore, a rock is an image. I want to check and ask you also the teaching of Jesus. Whoever follows Jesus, in Matthew's Gospel Sermon on the Mount, he asked them, don't build your houses, don't build your homes on rock, on sandy soil, but build your house on a rock. So a disciple is one who is rock solid in his heart. And therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, what makes discipleship of Jesus so very, very special is that a disciple has a personal identity. Your personal identity is something that will carry you through. An apostle and a disciple knows his responsibility and is not afraid to shoulder his responsibility. And third thing, a disciple is someone who is able to understand the meaning of his discipleship and commitment. My dear brothers and sisters, today's gospel passage from Luke chapter 4 gives us two examples. It tells us about a person who is building a house and a person who is about to go into war or battle. Both these examples tell us a disciple is someone who reflects, who thinks. And the most important part about the disciple of Jesus is someone who is able to give time for reflection. A disciple is a learner. And so we must all know that the life of a disciple has to be disciplined. If you can ask yourself, besides attending the prayer meeting, besides attending the mass, is your life as a Christian disciplined? When I say disciplined, it means, do you have a plan in place? Whenever a cricket team goes into play, they have a plan worked out. They know what they are going to do, how they are going to approach, and how they are going to face the game. Do you have a plan, or do you have your Jesus plan for you? And that is important for a disciple. The Bible in today's passage from Luke 14, 25 to 33 gives us the example of two persons. One is a person who is about to build a house, and the second is a person who is about to wage a war. And both of these examples were important at the time of Jesus. To build a house, even today, you require a lot of investment. Couples who build a house today have to take a loan that they will perhaps pay for half their lives. To invest in a home or a house is one of the most important decisions of life. And so discipleship is building your home for eternity. How much time are you devoting towards discipleship and towards your faith in Jesus? My dear brothers and sisters, heaven is compared to a home. In fact, the kingdom of God is compared to a city. And therefore, you are going to build that city for yourself. Heaven is your home that you will build every day of your life because of your faith in Jesus. Today, you can ask yourself, how much time, how much devotion, how much commitment are you building? How much time are you giving so that you can have a homeland in heaven? Very often, people on their deathbed, people at the end of life, people who have come to the to a crossroad, they start building a home overnight when they know that the time is up. My dear brothers and sisters, discipleship is building. It is building a home. There was a story that is told in many retreats. The story is about a builder who asked his contractor to build one last house. And this contractor was very good. And it was his last job. After that, he would quit his service and would part ways with the builder. And so the builder told the contractor, build the best house you can. Use the best material and give me the best house. This contractor said to himself, this is my last job. Let me just finish it off and get away with it. And so he built a house in haste, not paying much attention, using substandard material and not giving sufficient attention. When the house was ready, the contractor knew that this house was not up to the mark. He had not given his best. And he told the builder, here is my house. I've built my last job for you. And I am quitting my job. Goodbye. And the builder surprisingly turned to the contractor, the worker, and said, this house was not my house. This is my gift to you. Take the keys. This is your house now. And this is a story of life. Our discipleship will determine what will be our quality of eternal life. The second story is about a battle. A king goes out into battle. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, 25 to 33, he starts calculating that I have so many soldiers and my opponent has another set of soldiers. Will I win the battle? And so discipleship is about building a house and going out for battle. You need time to think. You need time to learn. You need time to reflect. My dear brothers and sisters, in the hustle and bustle of life, how much time are you giving to learn? Now, learn, I'm not talking about intellectual learning. I'm not talking about reading, writing, which is very good. But a disciple learns from his heart. And that is very, very crucial. Today, you can check very easily on the net that the Bible was true, 100% true. In the Bible, the center of a man's life was his heart. In many places throughout the Bible says that the center of a man's person was his heart. And when they said heart, they meant physical heart, the actual heart. Today you will know for certain that it is true that the heart is a seat of a person's emotions, feelings. And today there is 100% definite research that says that your heart is your second brain. Your heart is your second brain. Why did people follow the teachings of Jesus? Because Jesus did not speak to them in the head. He spoke to them to the heart and they followed him with all their heart. You know, my dear brothers and sisters, the research today is very, very glaring and very striking. They say that the heart has much more neurons as compared to the brain. And that is something that we in our modern world in 2020 are beginning to understand. What the Bible taught us, a disciple is someone who follows his heart. But we unfortunately are following too much of our head, too much of our brain, too much of our thinking. And we in a certain sense have killed the heart. Today I invite you, my dear brothers and sisters, the Christian life is a life of the heart. And by heart, I mean the inner life. And today, whenever you get the opportunity in your prayer, place your hand upon your heart and check what is the Lord telling you deep within. Silence this microphone on top all the time, counting, calculating, estimating, judging, reasoning, what will happen to me, silence it. That is what Peter did. Discipleship is disciplining your mind and following your heart where the Lord is speaking to you. Take time, my dear brothers and sisters, in order to be a good disciple, learn to listen. Jesus gave us only one commandment. And what is that one commandment? It is not about how much you study, how much you learn. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And so a disciple is someone who loves very, very dearly. And therefore, in the Old Testament, they had one prayer known as the Shema. That prayer is the prayer that Jesus says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. That you will follow the Lord with all your heart. But that prayer began with one word, which was a commandment for the Jews. That word was Shema. The prayer's name was Shema. It comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 4. The prayer begins with, listen. Listen, O Israel. And so discipleship is listening. Listening. And therefore, I invite you, whenever you get the opportunity, develop the skill of listening from your heart. Let this be my prayer for you, as I believe that many of us will have to silence what our mind is telling us about our sickness, what your mind is telling you about your problems, what your mind is telling you about Jesus. Many of you will doubt. Many of you will refuse to believe. All that is because perhaps of your mind. Today the Lord speaks to your heart. Listen to what the Lord is telling you deep down. And I believe that Jesus, as he spoke to Peter, speaks to each one of you. What were the words? Come, follow me. And therefore today, 4th of November, the memorial of St. Charles, who followed his heart and went out to serve a people during the plague, is a good example for us how to become a good disciple. Dear brothers and sisters, I would like to end with the words of the famous novel that I quoted to you, Quo Vadis, which way are you going? The words of Jesus to Peter, where are you going? If you could answer that to yourself, where am I going in my discipleship? Am I walking with Jesus or am I going my own way? Am I only following my own plans for myself? Or am I listening to the plan that God has for me? And that is God speaking to the heart. We pray that all of us will become disciples like Mary, who did something special. She did something beautiful. What did she do? What a disciple does best: ponder, reflect, meditate. That is the heart of being a disciple. Let us today learn to listen from our heart and learn to listen to the personal message that God is giving each one of you. I invite you to a moment of silence, to a moment of prayer. Today, I want you to silence your mind, which is good. God has blessed you with that mind. But today, God has also blessed you with a heart. God has blessed you with a world of emotions and feelings. Bring it all to Jesus and ask him to fill your heart with love, with peace and with joy. May this word that is preached to you bring you that calmness and stillness. Like I started with the word Christian, believe that you are anointed. Anointed means you are made holy. Let's bow our heads in prayer as I lead you into a small prayer of discipleship. Lord Jesus, as the crowds followed you throughout the journey, you turned to your people and said, I don't want numbers. I want people to follow me from their heart. Even if a few follow me, like Peter, I would be happy. Lord, I give my heart to you. I give my life to you. I give my world to you. Help me, Lord, to follow your teachings, your life, your plan for me and for my family. Help me, Lord, to be a disciple who accepts his personal identity of being a child of God. Lord, help me to be a disciple accepting my commitment. And help me, most of all, my Lord, to be a disciple who learns, who listens, and who is able to understand your plan for me. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. You are my master, Lord. You are my rabbi. You are my teacher. You are my God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.